Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved. Toured.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and I'm holding off the flu or whatever the heck is coming, you know, but, you know, a little adrenaline never hurt. This is one thing that I'm glad that Chris Hellman from the National Priorities Project was willing to come on. And it's a lot of criticism that I get from libertarian listeners. They're always like, Ernie, man, why do you have these people on? You know, it's to make the point. And also, it's interesting, over the years, I've been doing this radio thing since 03, before we actually went into Afghanistan. And the one thing that I've always been able to do is have a conversation with them, and that we are able to determine what it is that we really disagree on. That we're, you know, are we really that far off? You know, do we have something that we can understand our philosophical where the difference is? Yes. And I want them to incorporate that as part of their rhetoric. They are able to share from a libertarian, you know, a philosophy with other people. You know, they said, and yeah, I met other libertarians before, and they see no difference between it's a gun to your head and taken for noble cause, fill in the blank. And, you know, these are important things that we are able to be able to communicate these ideas because it's coming. It's coming in every way conceivable. We'll use a lot of examples. Now, on Freedom's Phoenix right now, I just refreshed the page looking at, and Sierra put up an article from, who wrote this? Tracy Timon, and I don't even know who that is, a post on Freedom's Phoenix quite a bit. And it says, Ernie was right! Tampon futures are exploding! Let me explain what that means. When we prepare for, you know, the inevitable, here comes inflation to the point, I see no reason why there won't be hyperinflation. I mean, everything, every little bit that they got to do to make sure they get it, well, here it comes. You know, QE 47, quantitative easing, man. It's just going to keep going. And when the states are finally all needing to go bankrupt, which they may, you know, they may change laws and allow states to go bankrupt. Some municipalities and different states can, and they will. And will the states be able to? Well, if they do that, that means that they're going to have to just say, you know what, all these unfunded liabilities that we have in the form of pensions for our state employees, and we pinky sweared and promised all kinds of goodies for you, you just keep voting, do what we say kind of thing? Well, it's all gone. We're so sorry. You know, we're not going to have that for y'all anymore. Well, it's going to manifest itself in prices of everything. And the one point that I made, you know, as we're packing to move into a new home that we have in North Phoenix, it has some land, and we're going to, for a year, we're getting everything all ready. We're consolidating. We're getting mobile. We're putting stuff in trailers, and we're going to have, you know, the radio show and everything in a mobile unit. We're going to be doing everything. Is going we can go on the road. We can go to another country. We can go, you know, because, man, it's going to suck to be here. Well, what we're thinking about is, what do we do? I go to my wife and I say, you know, something will happen. They do the S510 thing. It was the starting pistol for me. I just said, no, it's not going to stop. Because people that are able to produce their own food are going to be able to save a bunch of money and even make money. What is it Jim Rogers, the billionaire, been saying? He's going, oh, it's going to be the farmer. It's going to be riding around his Maserati, not Wall Street. I agree. And so the bad guys. That's why they wanted to make sure you had to have government regulations, licensing, and control on the production selling food. You got raw milk out of your goat? No, you better be able to drink it all, because you're not going to be able to sell it or trade it for anybody. That's what's coming. One of the other things I brought up, and I go, you know, it's going to be toiletries. It's going to be things that, you know, you have to buy. You know, how many tubes of toothpaste do you have? How much soap? We've stocked up a lot on just soap and toothpaste and toilet paper and tampons. I use tampons as an example because it's kind of a humorous example, but it goes like this. How much, as a menstruating woman, would you pay for a box of tampons? I mean, this is important stuff. I remember as a kid, you know, my mother had this big Kotex garter belt thing, you know, and then, you know, I remember when tampons started becoming popular, and they were, and then you had the toxic thing, and I guess women were leaving them in for, I don't know, weeks at a time or something, you know, and people were dying, toxic shock syndrome, and there was a scare on this and that, and then that finally went away, and now we have an entire female population in the United States, if not the world, addicted to tampons. Because it allows them to be athletic and go about their business without, you know, the inconvenience of other products. So I'm going, you know, I go to my wife and I said, Donna, man, you need to stock up on tampons. Oh, I got enough for a year, you know, or 2 years. And I'm going, no, I mean for like 20, 30 years. I mean, you know, all menstruating women must come to us to get their tampons. It's going to be a very valuable commodity. And I use that as a you know, mental exercise just to make a point. Well, this gentleman puts this up. Ernie was right. Tampon futures are exploding. The recent disappearance of a popular tampon brand is really cramping the style of city women. Drugstore shelves have been mysteriously empty of OB non-applicator tampons since late fall, leaving the feminine hygiene products devotees puzzled and peeved. The popular product is in such short supply that eBay users are bidding up to $76 for three packs, which usually sell for $8.79 a pack. You thought I was kidding. I'm not kidding. This is, you know, I could see that it's going to be in things like baby formula. It's going to be in things like toilet paper. It's going to be in things, you know, a lot of other stuff. Now, I brought up this because I knew that it was something people would remember, and it was going to happen. It's happening. Inflation is going, it is a beast that is going to devour everything from you, including your silver and your gold, if you don't get basic supplies that you know you need to do a shopping list. And just kind of, you know, stuff that, you know, for, oh, probably a couple of years. I would suggest, you know, years worth of these things. As we were packing, you know, and Donna was, my wife, taking everything out of the attic and our little storage and everything, I see a big giant pile, you know, it's cases of toilet paper. I see cases of this, soap and this, that. She's been doing a pretty good job. I'm like, all right, we're good for a year or two. Something to borrow. Now I got to haul that around with me, you know. But I'm going, you know, will I eBay it? You know, I'd be getting my $76 for a three-pack. What's the increase on $76 for, you know, something that would cost, you know, $25? That's a pretty good increase. Is there some stock does better than that? Heck, even gold and silver do better than that? You see my point? It's coming. And what is the other side? You know, whatever kleptocracy happens to be in charge now, and it's, I say it's all the same thing, you know, you'll just have the rhetoric on one side saying one thing, and they'll go, no. All that money you're stealing from the people and indebting them for, you're spending it wrong. It needs to be spent this way. If you can inject into the rhetoric, into just the minds of even these very people, they will start to be more popular incorporating the type of rhetoric. Now, they won't do it. I know better than that. I've been running for office enough times and so on to get my competition. Well, yes, we're for what Ernie did. Go to the next thing, the next election cycle, or even the next forum meeting or the next debate. And they'll start repeating everything that you're saying. You just know they're not going to do it. What are you going to do? We'll go over some of the headlines in Freedom's Phoenix when we come back. That's always fun. And there's just so much every day. Freedom's with an S. FreedomsPhoenix.com. You guys stay right there. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Just going over some of the stories here on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, I'll just share some of them that pop out at me. I mean, this is, here we go. You know, what I, you know, which one, where do you start? You know, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and start with Gerald. Well, what I want is to do some good stuff. Space travel and exploration. Now, I always keep tabs on that and see what's up. And we have a couple of things. One, they want to warn people saying, look, you know, you start putting animals in, they have like different tests, you know, with, you know, larvae of or whatever. And they're saying, attention, astro parents, your space babies may be deformed. The Journal of Cosmology recently published a special issue concerning the requisites for and perils inherent in a manned mission to Mars, which appropriately touched upon the taboo topic that NASA never talks about, sex in space. And more apt, really, what they're talking about is procreation in space. What happens when you take life that is evolved here on the planet, that is counts on certain magnetic fields, that you have gravity, you have all kinds of things, and you take them out of that environment, how do they develop? I have no idea, but I'm sure there's going to be research and we're going to find out. But I suspect that it won't be exactly the same. In fact, that's what astrology is based on. At least that's a claim by a lot of people. It's the alignment of the planets. What kind of gravitational forces are there at the time of your conception and your birth? You know, probably more likely your conception. But if you have all these different fields, all of these different planets in line with whatever, you know, does it have an impact on how you develop in the womb? Probably. I mean, I don't know. We're going to find out. I would be more surprised if it didn't have any effect. A private space shuttle replacement, the Dream Chaser, will go into orbit on the nose of a rocket, then land gently on airport runways. This is being built right, not later. You know, there's so much stuff going on. You think they just stopped the space shuttle? The Endeavor is going to be the last one. In fact, it was supposed to be piloted by Mark Kelly, which is a husband of the recently shot Gabrielle Giffords, the congresswoman in Tucson. Her husband is going to be the commander, supposed to be, a few months from now, the last shuttle mission. It's on the Endeavor. He's going to be commander. He's going to the International Space Station, where his twin brother is the commander of that. So this is a, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of PR levels on this one. So we'll see what happens. But after Endeavor, there's something else, you know, and then something else and something else and something else. And my question is, why would the private commercial space industry want to go to the International Space Station? What's there? Well, they're going to get paid to go and haul and this. Okay, fine. You want to hitch a ride on us and pay us for it? We're all over it. But they got bigger plans. They're going to space, something else. Then we have rocket plane. Now, rocket plane is a, it's a, like a Learjet that's been customized to be able to go into space and come down, but it takes off with jet engines of its own, and then the rocket engine hits in. Now, this is kind of what, you know, as a young kid, most of us probably had in our mind. Heck, why don't you just put a rocket engine on a jet airplane and go up and come down? Heck, when you're at 40-something thousand feet, you're almost no air pressure. What's the difference? You know, it's the reentry. It's, you know, the heat of the reentry. So they kind of harden some certain areas and put some heat ablative material or absorbing or tiles or whatever, and then they can come back that way. So this rocket plane, when we did our special show with the Rocketeer author on Private Space Race, I showed a picture of it, but I didn't get to talk about rocket plane. And I'm not really sure if they're even still in business. We're going to check on that. But this one, oh, yeah, here we go. Just a couple of days ago, we had it on Freedom's Phoenix, but I didn't get to talk about it, is Spaceship Two. This is one of the final glide tests that they did for the craft. Now it has, I'll just go ahead and read it. The private spaceflight company Virgin Galactic scored another successful drop test of its Spaceship Two suborbital spacecraft today. Now this was Monday. The latest in a series of smooth solo glides over the California desert for the commercial spaceship. Spaceship 2, designed and built by the Mojave-based company Scaled Composites, Burt Rutan, was released from its huge mothership a little after 8 a.m. local time today, January 13th, so that's when it was, and soared in glide mode back to Earth to a runway at the Mojave Air and Spaceport. The high-altitude flight did not reach space, but was the fourth in a series of demonstration flights ahead of an actual suborbital spaceflight test. Now, for those of you that have been listening to the show, there is a law that limits liability for the private development of space that is in effect until the end of 2012. That means you buy your ticket, you take your risks. You know, that's just the way it is. Now, Richard Branson and his mother, and I think his brother, and some of his family and kids and this, that, they're going to space. Yep, we're first flight, man. We're taking it. You better be testing it out because we're going. So, you know, and if it blows up, will that have an impact? I'm sure it will, but it's not going to stop humanity going to space. It'll just be government wanting to come in with all kinds of regulations. And that's what I fear more than anything else is sabotage. I'll say it out loud. Sabotage. I fear sabotage because it supports control by somebody that doesn't want us free. Will they use this one to do it? It'd be a good one. You know, so, you know, I'm certainly not predicting it or advocating it. It wouldn't surprise me. So be careful, guys. Now, this is going to be a big, you know, even with limited, what's he going to do? Sue himself, especially when he's dead? I mean, you know, so there's no liabilities and so on. They're saying, hey, man, you take your ticket, you take your risks. Well, that's what's going to happen. The reason we know that there's going to be, by the end of 2012, there will be more civilians will have gone to space than all other government astronauts combined throughout the history of man. In 1 year, there will be more civilians that have gone to space than ever have up to this point because government is not involved. It's going to be individuals. Now, by the end of 2012, will there be an industry? Probably. These tickets are already being sold. They're going like hotcakes. Done. They're filled up for foreseeable future to the point that they're building a fleet of these. You have the mothership, which is White Knight 2. And the reason they call it, it's white, of course, in the color. And it kind of looks like a knight because it has these little porthole circles instead of these larger windows because it's easier to pressurize and less stress on the frame and so on. So what they do is it kind of looked like a knight and shining armor. So they call it White Knight 1 was one for Spaceship 1. White Knight 2 for Spaceship 2. Now they're building at least two or three of the White Knights to haul multiple, at least two, three, four, five, however many they can get away with, of Spaceship 2. And then as time goes on, they'll get more and more sophisticated on those. So this is happening now. And, you know, I like sharing these things with you because it bypasses all of this other stuff. And that's just you know, what's going on in the last few days. The last few days. Now, when we come back, we'll talk about some other things. I'll just show you some quick stuff here. Is that new type of entanglement allows teleportation in time. Now, what they're talking about, there's two different things. There was a teleportation of, oh man, I don't have enough time to explain it. transporters. Star Trek. Transporters of DNA, material. You can even go and bypass space, time, different. If we can think it, it'll come.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I had a piece on Gerald Celente. He's on Fox News, and I wanted to watch it with you. And we'll just go ahead and get right to that now, because I think this might dovetail into some of the other stuff I wanted to talk about. So here we go.
Well, trampling on civil liberties may be something to get used to in 2011. It's just one of the things our next guest says we'll need to watch for in the coming year. The founder of the Trends Research Institute, Gerald Celente, joins us now to talk about some of the top trends of 2011. Gerald, nice to see you this morning.
Hey, Happy New Year.
All right, so as I'm going over the list here, we saw quite a bit of talk this year about gold. Gold prices, the value of gold. You predict a gold rush in 2011, more so than we saw in 2010?
That's right. You know, we began the gold bull run in 2001 when we identified it in the Trends Journal, and now we're saying gold 2000 is not far behind. The dollar keeps losing value. Commodity prices keep going up. One of the reasons, supply and demand. The other one is the devaluation of the dollar and all of the problems going on in Europe with the economic monetary union. People are going to be looking for safe havens from China to India, throughout Europe and around the world. Gold will shine.
Gold will shine, you say, around $2,000 an ounce. The question, though, when I hear these types of things, it reminds me a little bit of like the tech boom. Is there going to be a bursting bubble with gold and people are going to be really upset that they invested in it?
At some point, but not long term. You look at the rise in gold. It's been a steady trajectory up. It's gone up 500% since 2001.
War on freedom, you say, is coming in 2011.
Look, we just saw our security, Homeland Security czarist, telling the people at Walmart and people that shop there to go rat out anybody that they think is suspicious. We're seeing now predator drones without the bombs in them circling over Miami-Dade County, looking in your windows to see who's safe and who's not. We're seeing the same thing happening in Houston, and we're going to see more and more taking away of our civil liberties at every level. The war on terror will continue. We expect more terror strikes as well.
And perhaps more terror strikes in cyberspace. Cyber wars is another one of your big predictions.
I'll tell you, anybody wanting to look for a good entrepreneurial opportunity and education advancement and money for the rest of their life, become a cyber sleuth. We saw what happened this year with the Stuxnet in Iran, breaking down their nuclear systems. Cyber war is going to be waged by government, and cyber crime is going to run rampant, and there's no stopping it. For every new system they put to prevent it, a new one is born to overrun it.
Crime waves, crime waves is next. Tell us about this.
Hey, you know, I'm a Bronx guy by birth. When people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And people losing their jobs, they don't have any money, they're losing their homes, they're desperate, stressed out. They're going to be doing anything they can, and crime has become institutionalized. From Wall Street down to the welfare mom ripping it off, crime is going to be big business.
Finally, we'll end on mystery trend.
A mystery trend.
What is this?
Know the hand that feeds you. In one word, we call it bevissimo. It's going to be a new high quality of food. Again, current events form future trends. Remember they recalled a half a billion eggs
right
from that Auschwitz farm place out there, that chicken coop concentration camp? People are going to be going more and more into quality foods. The butcher, the baker, the artisan cheesemaker, 25% of the population is going to quality.
Grass-fed organic stuff. All right, Gerald Celente, a founder of the Trends Research Institute. Here's hoping to a good 2011. Thanks, Gerald.
Thank you.
Well, between high.
Wow. You know, this is, you know, the kind of things that, you know, what kind of trends are we following here on Freedom's Phoenix? What do we look for? Communication, transportation, and energy. Now, all of those have a lot to do with everything, including food and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when I'm sitting there and I'm going, you know, I need to just go and, you know, get optimistic about the future. I need to see what humanity has produced. I need to see where we're going. What's the trend? The trend is always more empowerment of individuals. It is always more ability for us to communicate with individuals on a much wider format, the ability for us to travel around the world much more quickly and inexpensively. It's the ability for us to be able to sustain our standard of living with energy more autonomous and more autonomous and more autonomous from the grid. This is what's going to be happening. Energy is going to be a big thing. Now, we track a lot of this here, and let me see if I got one right up here. We'll just go ahead and go through a lot of this because I have so much up here. But this one here, it talks about the Chevy Volt battery capacity could double. GM has tipped its hand about the type of battery materials it aims to use in the next generation of the Chevy Volt and other battery-powered cars. It has licensed battery electrode materials developed at Argonne National Laboratory, a U.S. Department of Energy lab, which means, you know, we get it last. I'm sure they already got it. These materials, called mixed metal oxides, could improve the safety and durability of car batteries and help double their energy storage capacity, potentially leading to blah, blah, blah. What happens is when you see something coming out of the U.S. Department of anything, it's because they already have another technology that's starting to rear its head and coming out that they're trying to squash. I'll give you an example. The ultracapacitor batteries. These are, man, they charge right away and dissipate at the rate you need and want to do, and then you charge them again, you keep doing it over and man, you know, go. Well, as soon as this starts happening, I know what's going to happen. Here comes the government, here comes DARPA, here comes the Department of Energy, here comes with some kind of competing whatever, we're going to keep that. No, heck no, that's not going to make any money. It's just like you when you have the oil subsidies for petroleum. Subsidy, subsidy, subsidy. What do you hear from solar and wind? We want our subsidy too. It's just like in my first hour of the left, there's a proper role for governments to balance out the subsidies. Stop subsidizing. If you let oil go to what its real value was, then all of a sudden everything else becomes, you know, viable. When you look at the price of a barrel of oil, is it really 90 whatever dollars it is now? 100? No. You're not including all of the veterans' benefits, all of the military-industrial complex, all of the resources we have to put in to go get cheap oil or maintain the supply. You know, if we're going to buy it, whoever has it is going to sell it. There has never been a shortage of oil. I doubt there ever will be. Now, they'll market it. But the thing is, you're willing to pay it, guess what? They got it. Or they go find more. And if it's too much, you'll go to something else. You think the bad guys don't know that? The movie with Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman called... what was it? Fusion or cold fusion or I can't remember what it was. It was about energy, okay? Them coming up with a way to make unlimited resources, energy really cheap, and then, well, heck no. In the end of the movie, they blew it up. Why? Because, you know, our society is not based on this. We can't have this. Heck, that's my position to make sure this never happens. Mr. CIA, Uber, what's his name, Morgan Freeman character. So what did the Keanu Reeves character do? He just downloaded it to the internet for everybody to have. There it is. You guys go make it yourself. WikiLeaks. That's why we have yesterday reported that they were saying out of the White House, they're going whistleblowers are the biggest national defense threat we have. Why? Because they don't get to control us. And the more as individuals that we are able to make ourselves autonomous from any kind of control, the less we need, heck, we already don't need government. It just becomes more obvious. That's why this kind of stuff just gets my attention. And there's a lot of little things that start coming up. You know, here, this one. This is in warm-up match, Jeopardy All-Stars defeated by IBM supercomputer Watson. Now, behind there, you'll see you have two guys up there, champions, and in the middle, they got the IBM logo. Now, behind him, you might not be able to make it out on the YouTube, but it says Think. And I remember this was a big deal in one of our early newspapers that we did. We had some people, they paid for the ads to have the word Think put up. And it was because of an ad campaign done late 60s, early 70s by IBM, and it had a big impact on them. Just think. Well, we'll see what IBM's thinking about when we come back. You guys stay right there.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of the beautiful, the BEA, beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Today at IBM's headquarters in Yorktown, New York, an historic battle was staged. Two superstar Jeopardy alums, Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, faced off against IBM supercomputer Watson in a preview round of America's most challenging trivia game. And we were there to see the thrilling man-on-machine action firsthand. Watson, named after IBM's founder, is one epic supercomputer. To handle the formidable task that competing on Jeopardy presents, IBM spent years constructing a computer with 2,800 Power 7 cores. That power is absolutely necessary. A single-core CPU, like in many modern computers, takes about 2 hours to come up with an answer to a standard Jeopardy question, rather than the three-second average Watson currently boasts. They're parallel processing. And I remember them talking about this in probably the 90s. And what it is that it's like one of the big supercomputers is, I think it was like 1,700 PlayStations put together that the Air Force uses. You know, I'm just chopping up in a bunch of little stuff, and you got enough power now, you can just, you know, here we go. So what happens with artificial intelligence? You know, well, here we go. The Terminator scenario. The Terminator scenario. Are we giving our military machines too much power? Well, I'll just give you a little story here. Last August, U.S. Navy operators on the ground lost all contact with a Fire Scout helicopter flying over Maryland. They had programmed the unmanned aerial vehicle to return to its launch point if ground communications failed. But instead, the machine took off on a north by northwest route towards the nation's capital. Over the next 30 minutes, military officials alerted the Federal Aviation Administration and North American Aerospace Defense Command and readied F-16 fighters to intercept the pilotless craft. Now, of course, if they had terrorists on, they wouldn't care. Finally, with the Fire Scout just miles shy of the White House, the Navy regained control and commanded it to come home. Renegade unmanned drone wandered skies near nation's capital, warned one news headline in the following days. UAV resists its human oppressors. Joyrides over Washington, D.C., declared another. These are the kind of stories that we're just going to be seeing more of. Now, one of the other things in technology, you know, just kind of a cute thing here, Johannesburg thieves raid traffic lights for SIM cards, yielding free burners. Now, this is what was going on. In Johannesburg, South Africa, some thieves have found that there's an even cheaper and more anonymous way to make phone calls than buying disposable burners, like those featured so prominently in The Wire. Traffic lights. It turns out that some Johannesburg traffic lights use SIM cards and GPRS to alert authorities to malfunctioning lights. But those SIM cards can also be harvested and used in generic phones to make unlimited, anonymous, free calls. Well, okay, that's one way of doing it. Google Translate's conversation mode aims to break down language barriers. Now, if you go to the top of Freedom's Phoenix, on the right side of the navigation bar, you'll see where it says Translate. And we have Spanish and English now, and we'll be adding a lot of others. We got other things to do before we get to that point. But what it does is we have a – I'll tell you this story. There's a guy named Ricardo Valenzuela, is a very popular writer on Freedom's Phoenix. He used to do a lot more in the early years. And he was the liaison from the governor of Sonora, a state in northern Mexico, and it was a sister state kind of thing with Arizona. And he was the governor's liaison there, Governor Boers, I think it was, to Arizona when Janet Napolitano was our governor. When he was appointed, she goes, "I'm very disappointed that they would appoint such a conservative to this position, blah, blah, blah." To which he replied, "I'm not a conservative. I'm a libertarian." Oh, he wasn't invited to the Christmas parties. Well, he and I became friends, and he started writing for it, but he'd write probably 80% of his articles in Spanish. He was the most downloaded columnist we had because the Hispanic freedom-oriented libertarian community in all of North and South America we're going on the Freedom's Phoenix. This is why we started translating, because I wanted to be able to read what he had to say, you know, because he wrote really well. And I remember in the early years when Google Translator first started coming out with that, it was, you know, I spoke enough Spanish to know that, you know, I took Spanish in high school. And if you want the Hispanic speaking individuals money in a restaurant business, you learn some Spanish. Yes, I'd be taking your money. Well, what happened was I could see the translating quality evolve. It's gotten to the point now that you almost can't tell that it's being translated. I mean, before you could see, it was kind of losing its syntax a little bit, and some words were kind of out of place and such. But now it's getting, man, it's getting woo-hoo good. So this, now that Google has this, learning a new language is hard. All those new grammatical rules, the new spellings, new tenses, irregular verbs. It's a serious pain. Luckily, Google Translate just issued an update to enable what Google's calling conversation mode. Basically, it translates a multi-language conversation in real time, spitting out a translation just as soon as you finish speaking. Now you can quit those painful language classes. Well, there's another thing. On my Droid, it has, whenever I do a text message or I'm doing a search on the browser, you know, looking for something, and I'm driving, I just hit a button that says speak, and I just go find restaurant so-and-so in the state and city of and whatever, or I can just do a text message. I'm on my way to whatever, I did this, call this guy at this number. I just talk, and then it prints it. It just, you know, the text is right there what it is. You show people this that aren't aware of this, and they're like, wow, man, have we come a long way. Yes, we have. It was about 5-6 years ago, I remember my son trying to save himself time. He got tired of retyping stuff in, doing papers that, you know, he's taken from, I don't know, ripping off the internet anyway. But, you know, what he was doing is he wanted to be able to write his paper just by speaking. So he had the voice recognition software, and we were playing with that. And it got to the point, he's a fast typer, he just had a heck with it. And he just, you know, kind of let it go after a month of trying to get it to work, because it was more hassle fixing it than it was using it. We're not there anymore. You know, we're into, oh, man, it is working just fine, and it's going to keep getting better. Once you have translating ability into several languages and an IBM supercomputer that can think and play people on Jeopardy and beat them, and chess play, and, you know, and then all of a sudden you start giving them control over military equipment, man, we're Terminator. It's Skynet. This stuff's coming, and who's in charge of this? Not us. Bad guys. Here's another piece of material. It's called, well, I knew it by Gorilla Glass. Now, this is glass stronger than steel, and I saw, we've been putting it up on Freedom's Phoenix. This is something that was developed, I think, by Corning, and it was 50s, 60s, no later than the 60s. They had this for a long time, and it's like you can't scratch it. You know, this is, you know, it's hard. And for some reason, it kind of set off in the side somewhere and eventually brought it back. In the world of materials, strength, the amount of force a substance can withstand, and toughness, its capacity to resist fracturing, are not merely different attributes. They're very difficult to achieve together. Now, a collaboration of researchers from Caltech and Department of Energy's Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory have created a form of glass that has both qualities. It's stronger and tougher than steel, or indeed any other known material. The material features palladium, a metal whose possible use in glasses was recognized 45 years ago. Yeah, see, this was already 45 years ago. They knew about this, and for whatever reason, I don't know, some other special interest had their say. You know, we got to make marijuana illegal because we got nylon rope to sell. I mean, it's that simple, seriously. I mean, it's always something like that. So this glass is going to be, you know, hitting the shelves and whatever impact that's going to have. And that's one thing that I was telling my sons, get in materials. They're machinists at Honeywell Aerospace. And then one left to work for making hoses, high-pressure hoses for deep-sea oil wells. And I'm just, it's materials. Things are going to change. Energy is going to change. Transportation, communication, this all changes. And every single one of these advances brings us further and further away from the collective control of an entity that does not want us being out of their control. Because if you're not in their control, you're out of control. Well, I'm pretty out of control. And I want you to be out of control. You know, but there are some people who want you in control. Where we look here, Facebook shares a little more of our data. After the negative response, Facebook have temporarily switched off the new features, saying on their blog over the weekend, we got some useful feedback that we could make people more clearly aware of when they are granting access to this data. What they were doing was taking everybody's phone numbers and addresses and cross-referencing them and making it available to the man. Be safe. This is Ernest Hancock. I'm publisher of freedomsphoenix.com and the radio talk show host of Declare Your Independence. Now, I want to give you my personal endorsement of a wealthy U.S. citizen that is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He's produced a video for you. It's a real eye-opener, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to watch it. www.endofamerica1and7.com. Endofamerica17.com. This video has the history of how we got where we are now and where we're going and why. Now, it's a lengthy video. It'll be about 20 minutes, but you need to watch this so you understand what's going to happen to this country and how you can protect your wealth and even benefit financially. Now, you go there. It's free. I want you to watch this video. You need to have this information so that you can survive the economic collapse that's coming to America. It's not if, it's when. That's End of America, the numbers 1and7.com. After you watch it, you'll understand why I endorsed it.